John 3. Chapter 3. So we did half of it last week. But today we just pick up at verse 22. Just a few verses. John 3, verse 22. It says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Now, there was a difference between the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus, right? You find that in Acts chapter 19, where Paul spoke about this to the men that he found in Ephesus. Anyway, the baptism of John was a baptism of repentance. Repentance means to turn around from, you don't run away from God anymore, you run to Him. That's repentance. And so people that repented, He baptized them based on their repentance. But Jesus, you baptized in the name of Jesus based on your faith in Him, confessing Him as Lord and Savior. So there's a difference there. Verse 24, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. So they had the disciples of John and Jesus had a bit of a dispute about purification. And now John's disciples went snitching on Jesus' disciples, and they want to draw him into the quarrel. Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. So there's a very good lesson here on humility. Because John the Baptist, came first and preached in the desert and baptized people. And he had a huge following, and he was a very controversial person. People went out to see him, ask him questions and all of that. And so when Jesus came on the scene, John's disciples thought that Jesus came and he's stealing the limelight now. And John could have said something about that, but he said, he must increase and I must decrease. And he stepped back and he said, I told you, I am not the Christ. He's the Christ. Follow him. And follow me. Follow him. He's the one. He must increase, but I must decrease. And I think that's a good verse for all of us. That, you know, it's just a part of our life philosophy. That we always come to the point where we say, Jesus must increase in my life, and I must decrease, so that I can become more like him. I must always decrease. There's so much of me and my opinions and my will and my whatever I want to do, but I'm here to do his will. And so I need to step back from my own visions and my own dreams and my own will so that I can do the will of him who died for me. Verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He's talking about Jesus and what he taught and so on. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. So Jesus came to speak God's word, not his own. He said it many times. I am not here to speak my own words. And I'm not here to do my own will. I am here to do the will of my Father. And I don't do anything unless I saw him do it or unless I heard him tell me to do it. Verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Now, I think that comes back a little bit to our discussion. Somebody can say, well, I believe. James says, well, the devil also believes. He believes in the Son. But he doesn't follow him. He doesn't obey him. He doesn't love him. But he believes in him, all right? He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God abides on him. Unless the wrath of God that is now dormant, but once the tribulation period begins, it's going to be released and poured out on all unbelieving humanity. It's 7 terrible hellish years that I believe that are just around the corner from where we are today. Okay, I just wanted to touch on this this afternoon. And let's bear in mind what we talk about. And let's keep on thinking about it and making it personal, that I make a fresh decision every day to follow Christ and to build my faith in him so that I can walk with him and live with him and spend eternity with him. It's just a little hard to get the logic behind it. You want to spend eternity with somebody that you don't really love. You know, I don't love him enough to give up my life. But I want to spend eternity with him just because I don't want to go to hell. That's not really how it works. It's talking about a new life altogether that is one with him, so united with him. You're always part of him. Jesus said there in John 14. See, that's the problem when I get going. John 15. And this sums up the discussion we had, reading from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So, whatever happens, you're going to be pruned, right? Because it says he wants you to bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide means to dwell. Dwell in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, that's it, you know. You get your life, you draw your life from him. Your life force comes from him, and that enables you to bear the fruit that he is looking for. And I won't read the whole passage here, but look at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Look at that. That's how we become his disciple, is when we bear much fruit that glorifies the Father. Okay, let's leave it at that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, cuts deep to reveal the intents of your hearts, so that we are open before you and you know exactly what we think. You don't pay attention so much by what we say and talk about, but by what lives in our hearts. And so I pray that our hearts will be sold out to you and given to you, a place where you can dwell, enables us to bear fruit that glorifies you. Father, I pray that as we stand before Jesus on Judgment Day, that we will be able to stand there with much fruit that glorified you. Pray for every one of us, Lord, that in these days of uncertainty, of darkness, of so much that's going on in the world, that sometimes it's just too much to digest, that our minds will be stayed on you. The word says, if our minds are stayed on you, we will have peace. Because we know you're in control, and you're also in control of our hearts and minds. And that's the safest place for us in this chaotic world. We bless you, we honor you, we thank you for Jesus, we thank you for his willingness to take our sin upon himself, receive the death penalty for it, so that we could walk away free. And so we bless you in his name. Amen.
I know age.